Probably not many of them. That's a fun song. When I was growing up, I just sang all the parts, or tried to. Psalm 24 is where we're at this afternoon. Psalm 24. We're going to focus on verse 6 this afternoon and try to clear a couple things up and give some practicalities for how to do this. Psalm 24, verse 6. Let's stand together. We're going to pray. We'll read. And then we'll get into striving to rightly divide the word of God. You guys heard that before? Rightly divide. Heard that? I've been told that that's actually a term for, I'm not sure what word you would use, but the word or phrase rightly divide literally means to make straight cuts. And a lot of people believe that, you know, Paul was a tent maker, and the idea would be to make straight cuts in preparing things to make the tent, put it together. And so it's kind of a cool application to think about, but that's what we want to do. We want to make straight cuts in the Word of God and to make sure that we get things right and in the rightful place and piece it all together. And so that's what we're hoping for right now. We're going to pray, and then we'll read God's Word together. Sound good? Amen. Everybody so ready? Okay, I'm going to ask Ben Cowan to lead us in a word of prayer, and then we'll read. Amen. Let's read. Let's read it out loud together. Ready? Here we go. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. And you don't know whether to say Selah or not, do you? Amen. Please be seated. It's okay if you do. It's okay if you do. I just, you know, those things stick with you. Those guys like Brother Buell tell you stuff when you're a teenager, and some of it sticks. So here we are in this verse. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Or I'm going to try to explain to you in a minute why I would say, O God of Jacob. But let me start with this. A.W. Tozer said, it is not what a man does that determines whether his work is sacred or secular. It is why he does it. The motive is everything. And God is always concerned with our hearts, and he wants our hearts to seek after him. I'm not sure who said it. I can't find the proper who this is attributed to, but someone once said, seek the giver, not the gift. Seek his face, not his hand. And I'm going to tell you that for a lot of my life, I have been good at seeking God's hand. In other words, I pray and ask God for things. God, give me this. God, do this. God, do that. And we're looking for God to do something for us. We're looking for him to give something to us. And there's not necessarily anything wrong with that. I think we should ask God for our daily bread. Amen. I mean, Preacher Jesus said to pray that way, give us this day our daily bread. So we're looking for God's provision, and that's not wrong. I think we ought to pray for God to heal people who are sick. Amen. Amen. So I just want to say, when I'm sick, I hope you pray for God to heal me, because I don't like being sick. Amen. I don't want to get well as soon as possible, right? So those are good things. But at the end of the day, if we're not careful, we're going to be looking for God's hand, and we're not looking to his face. And we're not just looking for what God does for us or what God might give to us. We want to know him. And so in our psalm, it says to seek his face. This is the generation. Now, we talked about the generation, whether that's a time of people or whether that's a kind of people. And at the end of the day, it's probably both. But in the context, it's really speaking of a kind of people, those who have been made righteous, who are ascending his hill, standing in his holy place. Those people are the ones who are seeking him. But certainly we hope that this is a generation, a time of people who are seeking God's face. I hope we're a church that's seeking God's face. And we want to seek the face of God. We want to know him. Now here in our text, it says Jacob. It says Jacob, but I think we need to try to unpack this a little bit, make sure we understand it properly. Now when it says Jacob, is it really that we're seeking the face of Jacob? Well, who is Jacob? Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is one of the patriarchs, the son of Isaac, and he was one who received a promise. His name was changed from Jacob to Israel. And so when we see Jacob in the Bible, it's talking about the nation of Israel. Are we seeking the face of Jacob here? Well, I would say we're definitely not seeking the face of Jacob. So when we read this, that's kind of what it sounds like, that we're seeking Jacob's face. Well, we're not really seeking Jacob's face, so what does it mean? There's two possibilities. One is that he's actually saying Jacob equals God's people. So the idea would be this. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, and that the generation is referring, or Jacob's referring back to the generation. So the idea would be that Jacob equals God's people, that it's Jacob that's seeking God's face. Does that make sense at all? So Jacob would be a reference to God's people. So it's kind of bookending it, saying this is the people that are seeking God's face, Jacob. Jacob is seeking God's face. That's one way to understand it. The other way to see it is it actually means the God of Jacob. And I submit to you that that actually fits better with the content or the context. This is describing a generation of people who seek him, who seek his face. And a lot of times in Hebrew poetry, it uses parallelisms, so it's going to parallel things together. So it's really common for it to restate ideas. So the phrase Jacob at the end, most naturally in that style or that linguistic style, would be shorthand to understand the God of Jacob. And most of the time when you see it in the Bible, it's not talking about Jacob, the people. It's talking about the God of Jacob. Now, So here we might see it, instead of saying Jacob is the people, we would understand it to mean that we're seeking the face of the God of Jacob. Does that make sense? So there's a couple ways you can look at it. You can study it out on your own. But just to give it to you in a way that might make sense. So one way would be this. This is Jacob, the generation of those that seek him who seek your face. That would be one way to understand it. Another way to understand it would be like this. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. Now, both of those things are true, right? God's people seek God's face. And everyone who's been made right by God seeks the face of God. And he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's who he is, right? He's not the God of the dead, but of the living. And so both of the things are true. I'm persuaded that it's more likely that it's the second one, that it's the God of Jacob. And the Septuagint, which is a Greek translation of the Hebrew, and the Septuagint is a Greek translation that Jesus and the apostles did, in fact, quote from. The Septuagint actually renders it that way. It says, "This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O God of Jacob." And so it kind of backs that understanding up. Like I said, both things are true. Both things are true, but we want to make sure that we understand we seek the face of God. We're not seeking Jacob's face. Is that fair? Everybody with me? Like, I'm not trying to seek Israel's face. I'm trying to seek the face of God. That's who we want to know. All right. Now, I mentioned a couple of verses at the end of the message this morning, and I want to run back to those. Psalm 27, verse 8. I remember as a young man, you know, you read things over and over, and I couldn't tell you if it was the first time I ever read this, but I can remember the first time God really got my attention with this verse. I was just a young man. I was still a teenager, but I had started trying to be a preacher, and I still don't know what I'm doing. I sure didn't back then, but I remember reading through the Psalms, and I remember the first time I read this, and it hit me. God just really got a hold of my heart with it. Seek ye, when thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. And I remember God gripping my heart with that because I want to have a heart like David. I wanted to then, I want to now. David was a man after God's own heart. He was a man who was seeking, pursuing, chasing after God. He wanted to know God. He wanted to have fellowship with God. He wanted to have relationship with God. He wanted to be close to God. And so this really spoke to me. When God said to David, seek my face, David said, my heart said, your face, Lord, will I seek. He responded with faith and obedience. And friends, we need to respond to God today with a willing heart. We need to cultivate a kind of heart that says yes to God no matter what. So when you read your Bible and it says, do this or don't do that, your answer is automatically yes. So many times, though, when you are asked the question, and just you can relate to this, I'm sure. Has everybody ever called you or come up to you and said, hey, Nelson, could you do me a favor? And when most of our friends ask us the question, will you do me a favor? Our answer is, that depends. right? I mean, how many of you honestly have a friend or a family member or somebody in the church, they come to you and say, hey, will you do something for me? Without hesitation, you're just like, absolutely, what do you need? Most of you don't trust other people enough to say yes until you know what the thing is, right? Is that true? It depends on who it is, right? Yeah. If I know them, then I'm for sure going to be like, probably not. Probably not. Uh-huh. So we are kind of skeptical by nature, and dealing with other people, we're really skeptical. But I'm just telling you that we can't bring that heart to God. It doesn't matter. If God says, do this or don't do that, our answer is,
yes, Lord.
Speak, Lord, thy servant hears. Yes, Lord, here am I. Send me. Is there not a cause? I mean, our answer always must be yes before he even asks the question, yes. And when God called to Abram and he said, I want you to get out of the land of your father into a place I'm going to show you, he got up and went, not knowing where he was going to go. God hasn't even told him where to go, and his answer is yes. Yes, Lord. And so we need to have a heart. When God says, seek my face, our answer must be, thy face, Lord, will I seek. And here in our text, he says, this is the generation that seek the face of God. And it's because we have cultivated a heart of yes to God. So I don't know what God's calling to you to specifically, but I know some things that you must say yes to. You must repent and believe the gospel. Your answer must be yes to Jesus. Your answer must be yes to him. He says, repent and believe the gospel. And then he says, come after me and I'll make you fishers of men. He says, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. He says, continue in my word. And Jesus gave so many calls to people. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so come to him, follow him, repent, believe in him, and keep his commandments. Be wise in your life and hear what he says and do what he says. Build your life on the rock. Over and over and over, Jesus is calling. Jesus is calling. And the answer must be yes. Yes. So when you open your Bible in the morning, because I know you're going to open your Bible every morning, when you open your Bible every morning, you're going to come to it with a heart that says, yes, Lord. I don't even know what he's going to show me, but the answer is yes. I know that he wants you to repent and believe the gospel. I know that once you've done that, he wants you to be baptized. We got to see a beautiful picture of the death and resurrection in AJ's baptism earlier today. And there's others that are here who want to be baptized, who need to be baptized, not to be saved, but in order to identify with Jesus. And it's a beautiful thing. And so yes to salvation, yes to baptism, yes to growing. Yes to whatever he calls you to. And there are some things that I know God wants all of us to do. And there are some details that are different for you than they are for me. But there are things that we need to come to God and say yes to. Seek his face. Yes, Lord. Respond with a willing heart. Now look at 1 Chronicles 16:11. 1 Chronicles 16:11. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face. How often? Okay. The Bible uses the word continue in the New Testament, and the word continue in the New Testament is usually the word that means to abide or to dwell, or we might say stay. But you and I, when we think about continuing, we think about moving forward, right? It's not about staying, it's about moving forward. So sometimes I think that gets a little confusing to us. But the idea is this. It is a place where you live. And we need to live in a state of seeking God's face. What does that mean? It's not something you did the day you got saved and you quit. It's not something that you do sometimes and you don't do other times. It's not something that you do when you come to church and you don't do when you're at home. It's not something that you do at home and you don't do when you're at school or at work. This is something that we do all the time. It doesn't matter where I go, I seek God's face. That's what it means to do it continually. It means that I am living in a state of seeking God's face. This means, it's a kind of a catchphrase. People like to use it, talking about all kinds of stuff today. I'm going to use it anyway. We need to develop rhythms of seeking God's face. What does that mean? It means that life happens, right? And listen, you've got to take care of business. You have things to do at home to take care of. You have to go to work. You have to go to school. There's life that happens all the time. But what we have to do is develop rhythms of seeking God's face, that in the process of my day-to-day, I'm gonna be intentional about seeking God's face so that it becomes natural to me. Okay? I'm going to be intentional about it. What does that mean? That means I'm going to set aside time every day that I am going to meet with God. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to read God's word. I'm going to commune with him on my own every day through prayer and reading the scriptures. I'm going to develop that as a habit in my life. I'm going to make that part of the rhythm of my day. I'm going to make it not just something that happens in the morning and in the evening, but during the day, I'm going to set aside time to get away and to pray. And can I just say this? We need to learn to pray without ceasing, okay? That means that my heart is always in connection with God. I'm going to turn the thoughts that I have in my head, instead of just letting them rattle around in this space up here, I'm going to turn my thoughts towards God. So I'm staying in contact with him, and I'm going to make that part of my life. I'm going to set time for prayer. I'm going to engage God's word daily. I'm going to pray without ceasing. I'm going to gather with the church faithfully. I'm going to recognize that this is part of my rhythm of walking with God, of seeking God's face, is to come together with the church to sing and to pray and to hear God's word and to fellowship together. Do you guys think this is critical for our walk with Jesus? I know that it is, and I hope that you do too, that this coming together with the church is vital for me, and I'm going to do that faithfully to come together with the church. Psalm 105 and verse 4 says, "Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore." And this is the coolest thing, because as you grow as a Christian, as you learn to get to know Jesus through his word, as you do that on a regular basis, it becomes the rhythm of your life. One of these days, you're going to take your last breath, and you will have been seeking his face day in and day out, just as the rhythm of your life, and then one day you'll get to see his face. I mean, we're not quite like Enoch, but it's pretty good. The Bible says Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. The Bible says that he was translated, that he should not see death. So literally, Enoch's just walking with God one day and just steps into glory, like body and all. And that's a unique thing. It's a special thing. It's a glorious thing. But for you and I, one day, I'm going to close these eyes in death. I'm going to take my last breath, and I'm going to open my eyes in the presence of Jesus. That's it. Glorious day. Glorious day. I am seeking his face, and one day I will see his face. I know my Redeemer lives. And in my flesh, I shall see God. So, practically, prayer. I would be remiss. We talked about fasting some a little bit the last couple of Sundays in our connection group, our Sunday school class. Prayer and fasting are ways that I can practically seek God's face. If I take a little time away from feeding my flesh and focus more on feeding my spirit, that's going to help me seek God's face. Prayer and fasting. We've already talked about engaging the Bible. What does that mean? That means praying and reading the Bible. It means studying the Bible, not just checking a list. That means journaling, memorizing scripture, meditating on the word as you go through the day. By the way, do you guys try that? Like, you read something in the morning, kind of grabs your attention. You try to think about it through the day. If you don't do that, you should try it. And it's a challenge, because everything in the world will distract you from God's word. And so it's something that takes effort on your part. That's part of seeking, right? Okay. Real quick, a couple weeks ago we had Easter. I don't want to sound like a pagan to the rest of the world watching online, but any of you guys hunt Easter eggs? Do you guys do egg hunts? Come on, raise your hands, pagans. Just kidding. Okay, if you had Grinch. Wow, that was subtle. Okay, anyway, moving on real quick. Did anybody hunt eggs when you were growing up, at least? You guys did that? Okay. I was terrible at it. I probably told you this, but every year at Easter, Mom would get a dozen eggs, and she would hide a dozen eggs in our house. It was only Amber and I. There's two kids, right? So theoretically, you get about six apiece, right? I was terrible at seeking. Amber's 5 years older than me, but she might as well have been 30 years older than me. because I was pathetic. She would find all 12 eggs before I could find one. Okay? True story. I'm just terrible at it. And I don't know why it is. I'm easily distracted. I'm lazy. I don't know what the problem was, but I was not very good at finding things. And I haven't gotten a lot better. Oh, man. I hate to admit this, but I know some of the other men in the room can relate to this. Have you ever gone into a place in your home and you're looking for something and you'd be like, hey, honey, where's this?
Where did you put this?
Okay, so I don't remember what I was looking for the other day, but it's in the laundry room, and Melissa's like, it's on this shelf in this place, and I'm looking. And I'm quite certain it's not there.
Amen.
Until she comes in and grabs it from right in front of my face. Like, it's that bad. Anybody else? Is that just me? Okay, all right, just... I don't know what's wrong with me, but it's wrong with a lot of you guys too. Seeking things takes, I don't know, like a brain effort. I'm not sure. I just know this, it takes effort. And seeking God's face is going to take effort. We studied these things out several weeks ago on a Wednesday night. Prayer, fasting, engaging with the Bible, worship, fellowship. We talked about serving, multiplying. We called these spiritual disciplines because being a disciple of Jesus requires discipline. Like, you get that, right? Discipline and disciple have the same root. And it takes discipline to be a disciple. It takes effort to seek God's face. In other words, your salvation is completely rooted in Christ. It's completely on Him. The work is done. It's all Him. But living for Jesus, it's going to be through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's going to be by His grace, but it's still going to take effort on your part. It means that you've got to die to self and be filled with the Spirit. It means that you've got to put the time in. So you're going to have to do some things. If we're going to seek God's face, if this is going to be the generation that seeks God's face, then we're going to have to put our time in praying and fasting and reading and studying God's word, worshiping together, fellowshipping together, serving God together, by loving others, doing good works in the name of Jesus, and seeking to make disciples of all nations. This is what He's called us to do. So practically, today, we need to respond with a willing heart, and we need to develop rhythms in our lives of seeking God's face. So, I get it, it's the Sunday afternoon crowd, but if you don't have time set aside for prayer and Bible study, if you don't have that yet, you need to start. You need to start. It will change your life if you start reading God's word on your own every day. If you haven't done it before, start. If you started and you quit, start again. Hey, don't quit. Stay with it. Okay? If you're not committed to being faithful in gathering with the church, you need to seek God's face in that. I'm going to tell you this. This, where you're at right now, is the last place the devil wants you to be. It's the last place he wants you to be. But that means this is the best place for you to be. Fellowship together, serve together, and seek to make disciples the way that Jesus called us to. We have a Savior who is worthy of serving. And we want to give everything to the one who gave everything for us. We're going to have a word of prayer, and then we got just a few extra minutes here, and we're going to do something this afternoon we haven't done in a while, but I want to give you guys an opportunity to maybe ask a question or have some discussion. Maybe you've got some things to say about what we just studied, but before we do that, let's pray together. Brother Nelson, will you lead us in prayer? Amen. All right. It's been a minute since we've done this, but thought today might be a good day to do it. So if you have questions or comments, something stood out to you, the message this morning or this afternoon, or anything at all, the floor is open.